We'll be using some verses there, and if you'd like to have your Bibles open at Proverbs 23 to start with, we'll be moving to other scriptures in Proverbs. Be ready to turn to other scriptures in Proverbs as we move through the message this morning. We've been doing a series on the home, and the title of this morning's message is Parental Communication, How We Communicate With Our Kids. Let's ask God's help. Oh Father, we want to dwell on that amazing love that you have had for us. We want to dwell on that love that is so pure, so changeless, so sweet, that consistently keeps loving for us. And Lord, there are some times when our children stretch us, and sometimes we don't feel very loving toward them. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be able to draw close to our kids, that we might have godly seed. Bless us as we move through the message today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Crystal is 14 years old, and her parents brought her for counseling because Crystal is a closed book. They can't get anything out of her. She just doesn't talk to them at all. Yes, Crystal has had our problems, but counseling has also unearthed that both mum and dad have contributed to Crystal's problems. Over the years, it was the parents that shut her up so that now, as a teen, she is non-communicative. Mum had an anger problem. Her anger was volcanic, and Crystal learned that she needed to head for cover every time her mum got angry. If Crystal would venture a comment, her mum had returned to her, "Don't answer me like that." And so Crystal learned not to answer. Dad was not there, and when Dad was there, he was in his own world. Dad rarely talked himself. No wonder Crystal learned not to talk. She had never learned to go to him as a child and work through her problems and talk things out. But with biblical counseling, all the family are starting to communicate again. We need to know how to engage our kids, how to talk to them so that they don't become closed books like Crystal. What does good biblical communication look like? Well, this is a good time to come back to our foundations and remember where we began in this series, and that is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training, that is the nurture, in the training and admonition or discipline of the Lord. Three instructions in that verse. Number one, do not frustrate your kids. Number two, to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord, and number three, to bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Now, Crystal has become an angry, frustrated teen, and she just doesn't want to talk to mum and dad. That reminds us, communication must be godly, and discipline must be godly. Discipline and communication are actually inseparable in life. They go together. They're often part of the one incident, the one time, but we need to separate them out as we consider them in the subject of parenting so that we can look at each one separately. But in life, they're together. Godly communication, which is the one that we're going to look at first, and later on we're going to look at godly discipline. Godly communication is indicated by the word nurture. Nurture. We are to nurture our children in the Lord. The Greek word there is paedia, and you'd recognize that as referring to a child training. It is much more than telling a child what to do, like eat your peas. We'll look at the instruction elements of nurture next time, but today, as we begin to look at parental communication, where we want to look at the nurturing element of this. Today we look at the caring elements of nurture, those aspects of communication that open it up rather than close off a child, open up the communication in the family. So today we're going to discuss two aspects of caring, godly communication to really connect with our kids. The first aspect of good communication for us to discuss today is basic elements of good communication, basic elements of good communication. Before we go on to good communication, let me emphasize the foundation. I want to emphasize the foundation that I have already mentioned, that godly discipline and godly communication are both necessary. If you just do the communication that I'm talking about today without the discipline, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to be the right thing. We want both the communication and the discipline, as Ephesians 6:4 suggests. And another passage that Tim read to us this morning that emphasizes the necessity of both is Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 13 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Now, those verses need explanation, and we're going to come to that. And clearly, those verses are about godly discipline. And as we said, we'll look at that later. Verse 15 continues, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself..." So the father is speaking to a son, and he's speaking to his son about hard issues. The issues of life, as we've seen already, flow from the heart. And he's going to go on to instruct his son. And instructing the son is definitely part of godly communication, but we're going to emphasize the part of communication today that draws close to the child. Notice again that we parents are shaping and shepherding the heart. Verse 15 again, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice, indeed I myself." When the heart is right, our children will speak right and they will live right. Verse 16 continues, "Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things." You see, that flows from the heart. "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Set your eyes on the Lord," he says, "for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way." The father is concerned with his heart, with the heart of his son, the things he speaks and the things he does, like verse 20. "Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat," you know, the party crowd. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. I think the idea is lethargy. Lethargy will clothe a man with rags. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. So this rod and this communication. The rod establishes the authority, should teach the authority in the home, and the communication that we're going to emphasize today builds relationship, and as that relationship is built, out of that the instruction, and out of that the discipline can flow. So the question today is, what are the basic elements of caring, good communication, of communication that will build relationships with our children? And by the way, for those of you that are not parents, these same principles apply to all relationships, but we're particularly focusing on parents today. Well, there are three basic elements of good communication that builds relationships that I'd like to mention today. There's probably others, but we're mentioning three. First of all, availability. Availability. Crystal's dad just wasn't there. He wasn't there to talk to most of the time, and when he was there, he was very distant. It was hard for Crystal to draw close. Availability is implied everywhere that parenting is mentioned in the scriptures. Not always stated, but it is implied everywhere. To bring your children up in the nurture of God and the discipline of God, first you have to be there. Additionally, availability is the first part of listening. Flip back to chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 13. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. "He who answers a matter," Proverbs 18 and verse 13, "he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." Communication is far more than a father instructing eating your peas and a kid asking for a new bicycle. That is superficial communication and does not contribute to relationship building. We could paraphrase verse 13 that we've just read this way. Listen before you comment. Listen before you comment. Listening is actually the greater part of good communication. Listening is probably the harder part of good communication. When we think of good communicating, we often think how to be able to put things so people understand. But the harder part of communication is listening. And to hear from your children what really matters, first you have to be available. You have to be there. James repeats this proverb in his own words, saying in James chapter 1 and verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." There's the great principle of communication. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We've got to put energy into listening to build good relationship with our children or anyone as far as that goes. So if we're going to put effort into listening, that's going to take time and it's going to take availability. Life observation confirms what the scripture is teaching here. Something like 70 to 90%, depending which study you read, up to 90% of male criminals had a father who just wasn't there. If you want a delinquent child, male or female, just make sure that you're not around, and when you're around that you don't connect with them. If you want godly children, be available. Now, little children are constantly coming to their parents and jabbering away, and a father might be working on something and going, "Uh-huh, really? Oh, that's nice." One toddler said, "Daddy, are you listening?" I asked the same question today. Daddies, are you listening to your children? For if you put them off when they're small, you'll turn them off, and they won't come when they're teens, when you're really wanting to hear from them. We must be available, we must connect, we must engage. The second basic element of good communication that builds relationships is listening to understand. First you're available, and then you listen. When you listen, listening is not passive. Listening is not just not speaking. Listening is active. You're trying to understand what is being said. Proverbs 18 and verse 2 says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." He's not wanting to listen, he's just wanting to talk, tell you what he thinks. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. And it's so easy for us parents to act foolishly just like that, getting some concern about our children off our chests and not really stopping to listen to understand. Yes, of course that takes time, and that's why we said time and availability needs to be the first step. A couple of illustrations. First, a dad who got it wrong. It was late at night. The dad was very tired. There was something with his son that he just had to talk through, so he went to his room and had it out with his son. And as the dad unloaded, he made this comment, "I'm really glad that we had this conversation." Dad then went to his bedroom, collapsed into bed. No sooner had dad put his head on the pillow than there was a knock on the bedroom door. "Dad, can I come in?" "Yeah, sure." "Dad, I know you said that you were glad that we had this conversation, but Dad, I said nothing." Not so good, is it? That dad didn't listen to understand. Here's a better scenario about a kid who doesn't want to wear a brand new pair of shoes to school. "You're upset about the sneakers, aren't you?" "Yeah. I didn't think you liked them last night when we bought them, but you didn't want to tell me, did you?" "No." What don't you like about them?" "They look stupid." "Stupid? What do you mean stupid?" "Well, Jared says they look stupid." "Jared? How does Jared know? He hasn't seen them. We only bought them last night." "Well, Chris got a pair just like this, and Jerry told everyone in the class that he looked like a daub." "Daub? Huh? What looks so dauby about those sneakers?" "The red stripe on the back, Dad." "They don't put red stripes on the new ones. They're last year's shoes. That's why they were only $100. "Oh, I see. You're afraid they'll call you a daub, right?" "Yeah. That really hurts, doesn't it?" "Yeah, I don't know why they should care about what kind of shoes I wear, but I know they'll call me a daub." This child could have been treated as rebellious and naughty for not wanting to wear new shoes, which is sadly probably the way I would have treated it when I was parenting. But I can see this parent really cares about his son and wants to understand. I can see how this opens up communication rather than closes off communication. And I can see how this parent is now in a position to help because he understands what the issues are. Maybe there is no alternative to wear the shoes, but at least the parent can now deal with the issue of peer pressure and desiring to please God rather than please men, you know, the so-called friends at school that are going to treat him that way. Parents, please listen to understand. The third basic element of good communication that builds relationships is drawing out. Flip over to Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. This verse says, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Counsel there can be translated purposes. And so a paraphrase that's on your sheet puts it this way. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. The purposes, the motivations, why our kids do things may not be obvious, but a man of understanding can draw them out. Now, the illustration we used of listening to understand is also a helpful illustration as we think about how to draw out our children. Showing care, interest, and having some biblical understanding of the issues of the heart is going to be able to help the parent to understand, perhaps even ask the right questions, to be able to draw out the real concerns of the child. The child didn't come straight out and say, "Oh, they'll make fun of me at school." It took some skill from the parent to find out why the child didn't want to wear the shoes. It's our job as parents who have some scriptural understanding of the heart to help our children to be able to express their hearts. The man, the father, the husband who has taken time to understand himself, as the scripture teaches about ourselves, the man who has taken time to understand himself will be able to draw out his child. He'll understand better the issues of the heart. Verse 5 says, "The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out." You must be able to get to the heart issues in our children before we can help them with the heart issues. A question like, "What don't you like about them?" or "What is it that makes them look stupid?" is more likely to draw out the heart than a why question. Why in the world don't you want to wear the shoes? Why questions are not as good as what questions. Questions like, "What are you thinking? What are you feeling in that situation? What could have you done different when your sister destroyed your sandcastle? Were you pleasing God or pleasing self?" They're the kind of questions that can start to draw out the heart. Yes, this all takes time, and so it does come back to availability. You have one chance to raise your kids. You're not going to get to the end of time of your life at work and say, "Oh, I wish I'd spent more time at work." You're going to get to the end of your life and say, "Why didn't I spend more time with my kids?" The time investment, the care and understanding is going to pay dividends for generations to come. We're not just trying to raise children that are socially acceptable or kind of fit in with the church or some other social group. We are trying to raise godly seed who will raise godly seed who will raise godly seed. Deal with the heart, availability, listening to understand, and drawing them out. The second aspect of good communication for us to discuss today is the blessings of good communication. The blessings of good communication. And the first blessing of good communication is that you will understand and identify with your children. You'll understand and identify with your children. The model for us here is the Lord Jesus. Consider what Hebrews says about him, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me emphasize verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize, or to put that positively, we do have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. You see, he was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. That verse says that Jesus came to earth, that he lived amongst us, that he identified with us. He was subjected to the same world system and the same pressures that we are subjected to, and he was subjected to the same enemy. He was tested more strenuously than any of us are tested, and yet he did not fall like we fall. He's been through it all. He understands. He identifies with us. Verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. As parents, the Lord Jesus is our model. Just because Jesus and understands and identifies with us, he's came and lived amongst us, he felt with us, because he is there understanding us, then we feel like we are able to go to him. That's the impact of verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we understand and identify with the struggles of our kids, they will feel like we feel with the Lord Jesus. They will feel like they're able to come to us with their issues. If we yell, shut up and wear the shoes, you know, the bus is coming down the road and we just want to get them on the bus and away, shut up and wear the shoes, like Crystal's mum might have done, they will know that we don't understand what they're going to have to face at school, and they're less likely to come and open up about the issues. It's such a blessing for us to be able to understand our kids, and for our kids to feel like that mum and dad understand them. They feel cared for. Sure, we can identify with them. Of course we can. Aren't we sinners too? Don't we have the same struggles in life that our kids do? Christian parents need not pretend that they have it all together. We don't, do we? Parents who seek to understand and identify with their kids are not going to be self-righteous with their children, are they? Like, I can't believe that you'd take that off your sister. Oh, really? Like, you've never been selfish at some time? Sure, we can understand. Sure, we can draw close and identify with the pulls of the heart. Don't have your child say to you, as one teen sent to his mother in counseling, weren't you ever a kid? What a blessing to understand where our children are at, and they know that they can come to us with the same kind of freedom that we go to the Lord Jesus. The second blessing of good communication is that you can help them to understand themselves. We read Proverbs 20 and verse 5, which said, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. When we draw out our child, we not only get to understand them, they get to understand themselves and the things that are driving them. The little boy who wouldn't wear his shoes almost certainly was not thinking in biblical categories. He probably wasn't thinking, I'm reacting with the fear of man, although that's really what was happening. He probably wasn't thinking about verses in Proverbs 29. Flip over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. He probably wasn't thinking of a verse like that. So as the dad draws him out and shares verses with his son like this, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe, he's able to get a picture of the real world, a world out there that intimidates and puts pressure to be just like them. He starts to see the fear in his own heart that he wants to be accepted by the other kids. and seeing the issues, a verse like 25 can be a real blessing to any of us and to our children. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Can't you see the blessing that can be to a child who is being bullied or put down by other children at school? So his heart is being directed to Christ. When you go to the heart issues, the heart begins to be directed to Christ. If this child has already trusted Christ as Saviour, then the Word of God and the Spirit of God will work in tandem to help them grow in strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe, and they can learn to rest in that safety that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a child yet hasn't trusted Christ, they can start to see their need. Oh, I need the Lord to be able to deal with this situation. I need the Lord to be able to overcome this sin. And so the heart is being directed to Christ. When we understand our children, they understand themselves. The experiences of life then become opportunities. Opportunities to grow in Christ. Opportunities to be pushed towards Christ. One dad writes, dealing with disobedience is a wonderful opportunity to draw alongside our children. As you learn their internal struggles with sin, you have an inside track. You, like they, are a sinner. You can use your insight into the nature of temptation to help them understand their own battles. You can also encourage the children with the unending grace and mercy that you have, and you've experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, there is righteousness that we cannot produce. In Him, there is forgiveness that we cannot merit. In Him, there is power that we cannot generate, power to live like the Lord Jesus. There is hope for needy people in this one who became flesh and dwelt among us, identified with us, and understands our every need. The third blessing of good communication is relationship building. Seeking to understand, drawing the child out expresses care and concern that builds relationships. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, our foundation verse, does not say love your children. What it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't talk about love, but it is in the context of love. Titus 2:4 does tell us that we ought to love our children. Now, it's particularly instructing the older women to teach the younger women, but the application is wider than that. Titus 2 and verse 4 says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Of course, Christian parents are going to want to love their children, and we're to encourage each other in that. And that nurture of the Lord and that discipline of the Lord is lived out in loving our children. Good communication is the foundation for good relationship. Of course, the things, the kindness, the other acts of love that we show to our children, but good communication is essentially the foundation for good relationship. Good communication builds relationships, relationships that can stand the pressures and stress of living. So if that relationship has been built, then when it comes to discipline, instruction and discipline, then there is a relationship that is there from which we can talk to our children. We've drawn alongside them to understand, but we're also above them in the Lord, and we need to teach them God's ways. We need to bear God's authority over them. So as we build relationship with our children by this good communication, then there is the foundation for where we started today, Proverbs 23, the discipline of the Lord and the instruction of the Lord. We exert the same authority that God has over us, an authority that demonstrates love and cares and understands and shows good communication with us. We need to communicate with our kids. Let's pray. Dear Father, it's so easy for me to be foolish and just get what's off my chest, to just react to a situation rather than listen and draw out. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would be parents that are there for our children. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would listen to understand. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would learn how to see the issues in our own hearts so that we can see the issues in the hearts of our children also. O Lord, help us to direct our children to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to forgive them and give them power to live and encourage them and give grace upon grace for the issues of life. Father, we want a godly seed. Please help us ourselves as mum and dads to be godly and draw close to you. Bless our families. Build strong families here, Lord, and build a strong church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.